Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those words. And remind me of a picture I saw on Facebook, and there was a whole crowd of black umbrellas, and then there was one red one. And he says, we are not to blend in. And it really hits me that, you know, we should be in the manifestations that shine that light, that we should be so different. The person you're going to say, that person's a Christian. But if you put a lampshade on, it's dimming the light. And trying to conform and to be accepted by the world. We don't want to be accepted by the world. We want to make a distinction that, hey, come with us.
Peculiar people.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to do a study on the adventures of Paul going upstream. Or his name is obviously Saul. But the adventures of Paul going upstream. And so if you're going to be a disciple of Mashiach Yahushua, he was an individual, says we live in a dark and evil world, you gotta go upstream. Everything else is coming downstream. If you think it's gonna be easy, not. The Apostle Paul was a great illustration of that. So we'll begin with John 16:2. You want a Bible?
Yeah, no.
And I think one time we were kind of shocked, and we're not preparing ourselves, but it's always historical, that our biggest enemies many times is going to be from the religious communities. That's just the way it is. They are the ones who crucify Christ. Now it was the Jews, but it wasn't just the Jews, it's the religious communities. And if you look at back in prophets and judges and everything else, it's usually always the same. They've been infiltrated. So John 16:2, excommunicants from a synagogue will they make you. Nay, there cometh an hour that everyone who killeth you shall think to be rendering divine service unto Yahweh. Wow. I mean, how could that even be? But Paul was an example of that. What you're going to see.
Like burning people at the stake.
You know, Acts, we're going to be doing all the rest of it in Acts. Acts chapter 8. Paul is our God. Saul. Now we know about Stephen being stoned by religious people. And one of those religious people who was standing by was Saul. 8:1. And Saul was taking pleasure with them in his death. Isn't that a sad, sad thing?
Oh, yeah.
Taking pleasure in somebody.
Death.
You know, think of stoning somebody. So I have to get into the point of stoning somebody. You're not going to kill them, but you're hitting their arms and you're hitting their legs and their chest. But the only way you're going to kill them is what?
The head.
And I'm going to have to finish them off because, I hit somebody, they become unconscious. So they're laying there, but guess what? They're not dead. So somebody's going to have to come with a big rock and finish a guy off in the head, crush his skull. That's stoning. And he's taking pleasure in the stoning of Stephen. Moreover, there arose in that day a great persecution against the assembly, which was in Jerusalem. And all were scattered abroad throughout the countries of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. This is a side note. I don't know what kept the apostles in the worst city possible, Jerusalem.
In the what?
The worst city possible. This is where you kill the prophets, and they stay there. And so, I don't know. I don't understand. Howbeit, the reverend man assisted at the burial of Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul went on to lay waste the assembly along the houses, going in and dragging off both men and women, was delivering them up into prison. God, I mean, this is just hideous. Now, if you look at this, there's a break in here, and we're going to see two parentheses. And that's from Acts 8, 4 to 25, and then to Acts 8, 26 to 40. Because if you look at 9, chapter 9 now, so we're just look at 3, and then we're going to go to 9, 1.
Okay, 3 what?
9. A3. And then we're just going to skip everything in between this. Now watch this. The continuity. But Saul went on to lay waste the assembly along the houses, going in and dragging off both men and women, was delivering them up into prison. But Saul yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. See, it's a continuation of the story.
Okay.
And so you have to say that all that stuff in between is parentheses, which is a figure of speech. It goes into Philip and all these other things. The very good things happening. So here's the bad things that are happening. And then Philip comes along and people are being delivered and everything else. So a lot of good things are happening.
You're saying that that's all a figure of speech? Or it's
a parenthesis is a figure of speech. The parenthesis is a figure. It doesn't mean it's not literal.
Okay.
It is literal. But when I change the subject abruptly, all right, that's where we put brackets.
Okay.
You know, we put brackets because what we're doing is we're diverting from our main subject, which we're coming back to our main subject. That's called a parenthesis. And there's a big parenthesis in this. It's the good stuff that's happening with Philip. And remember, he's going down to the eunuch. You know, he's in Samaria, so great things are happening. Great, but now we're back to the continuation of the bad story, which is Saul. So 1 to 4, chapter 9, 1 to 4. Melania, read that.
And Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, going unto the high priest, asked from him letters for Damascus unto the synagogues, to the end that if he should find any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came pass that he was drawing near unto Damascus, and suddenly there flashed around him a light out of heaven, and falling unto the earth, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why art thou persecuting?
Now, keep your finger here. We're going to see this is Yahushua speaking to him in Hebrew. Go to Acts. We're coming right back. Acts 26, 14. And so when people say that, you know, Yahushua spoke Aramaic and all these other things, it's just nonsense.
I'm sorry. Where did you tell me to go?
26, 14. Now he's explaining to, I think this is Agrippa, his conversion, 14. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me in the what?
Hebrew language.
And the Hebrew, what is the actual word supposed to be instead of Hebrew? It's what?
Ibri.
Hebrew is actually a Greek word. You know, for Ibri. So it's not Hebrew. There's no H in it. But we saw that is Yahushua speaking to a Hebrew. Yahushua is a Hebrew, speaking to a Hebrew. And as we see many times in the book of Acts, when you speak Hebrew, it catches the Hebrew's attention very attentively. And also, what you also do is you knock out all the non-Hebrews, because they can't understand it, Hebrews. And we go back, and we're going to go to now verse 4 to 6 again. Well, let's just start with, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Yahushua, whom thou art persecuting. But rise up and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So interesting, because just go. I'm not going to give you any details. It will be told you what to be doing.
Wow.
And we'll go ahead. So this is a timeout period. As we're going to see, he ends up going into Damascus and doesn't eat or drink for 3 days. So why didn't he just come and give him back his eyesight immediately?
Because he abases those who...
I want you to think about this.
Yeah. He's humbling him.
Yeah, I'm going to see whether what you're going to happen. So guess what? Yahushua kept him blind intentionally for 3 days.
Wow.
And Yahushua is not going to send an apostle to minister to him to say, you're going to be some great man. You know, yeah, if I'm going to be, you know, it'd be like Nathan. He was going to the prophet, and I want Nathan, the prophet, to come out here and say such and such. And he said, nah, you know, we want humility. I'm going to get you a regular disciple. And his name is Ananias. And so we go to 7 to 9.
You put out your last teaching. You didn't send him to Peter or James or John or any majors. Who's that Ananias?
Yeah, but the men who were accompanying him stood speechless, hearing indeed the voice, but beholding no one, and saw Ulla arose, or that's Egaro, awoken from the earth, and his eyes being opened, he could see nothing. And taking him by the hand, they led him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without seeing, and did neither eat nor drink. Now, not drinking for 3 days. I could do 3 days not eating. Not drinking for 3 days. That's another thing. Then there was a certain disciple in Damascus by name Ananias, and the Lord, which is Yahushua, said unto him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, lo, I am Lord. And the Lord said unto him, rise, go into the street which is called Straight, and seek in the house of Judas. Whoever you see the word Judas, that's Greek for Judah. One Saul by name of Tarsus. For lo, he is praying and has seen a man in a vision, Ananias by name, coming in and laying on him his hands to the intent he should see. So here is Yahushua giving him a vision and giving him hope. It's not going to be permanent. And Ananias answering, Lord, I've heard from many concerning this man, how many evil things unto thy saints he have done in Jerusalem. And here, and that's, everything's in Jerusalem. And I thought, I don't know why the apostles are still there, but they are. And here he hath authority from the high priest to bind all of them and call upon the name. But the Lord said unto him, be going thy way, for a choice vessel unto me is this man to bear my name before both nations and kings, and the sons of Israel, for I will let him understand how many things he must need for my name suffer. So guess what? This is going upstream. Mm-hmm. We're going to go upstream, just like I had to do. Let's see here. We're going to go to... Ananias departed, entered into the house, and laying upon his hands, said, Saul, brother, and brought in Hebrew, the Lord has sent me, Yahushua, who appeared unto thee in the way by which thou was coming. So actually, we're going to see through the text, he actually saw Yahushua, and he heard Yahushua. That thou mayest recover sight and be filled with holy ruach. And straightway there fell from his eyes as it were scales. He recovered sight also, and arising was immersed. And receiving food, gained strength, and he came to be with the disciples who were in Damascus certain days. And straightway in the synagogues he began proclaiming Yahushua, that he is the Son of Yahweh, or the Messiah. So the Son of Yahweh, or the Christ, is the same as saying he is the Messiah, the Mashiach. 23 to 25. And when it's, now this is great because this is going upstream. Now, are there disciples in Damascus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there believers in Damascus? Yeah. He was going there to put them in prison, right? Now, Paul or Saul was in Damascus teaching. Now, look what happens. And when verse 23, and when a considerable number of days was being fulfilled, the Jews took counsel together to kill him. Why not Ananias? Why not the rest, any of the other people? But Saul brought a lot of attention to himself. And we're going to see this over and over and over again, that he was the person they wanted to kill. And there, they were even narrowly watching the gates both day and night that they might kill him. What about the other one? But the disciples, there's disciples in Damascus, taking him by night through the wall, let him down, lowered him in a basket. And he went into Jerusalem, which is very interesting. 26 to 30. And you want to read that, Aaron?
And when he had arrived in Jerusalem, he made attempts to join himself unto the disciples, and all were afraid of him, not believing he was a disciple. But Barnabas, taking him, brought him into the apostles, related unto them how in the way he had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken unto him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Yehoshua. And he was with them, coming and going out of Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord, and was both speaking and discussing with the Grecians and the Jews. Is it Jews? Jews, yeah. But they were setting to work to kill him. And the brethren, discovering it, brought him down into Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus.
Well, wait a minute here. All the apostles are in Jerusalem too. There's a lot of disciples in Jerusalem. Who do they want to kill?
Paul. He's going to Tarsus.
What did you say, the apostles or just the disciples?
Just Saul.
No, but we know that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. So the apostles are there. You've got the disciples there, and everything's going on, and then Paul comes in, and I don't know what he's doing, but he is drawing a lot of heat towards him. He is going upstream, and wherever he goes, generally, people want to kill him.
Wow.
And that's quite a... That same way with Christ.
He's a target.
But that's quite a compliment. Now we go to chapter 11.
Was he going to Damascus to bind people and he ended up going there to preach instead?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, 11. Now we're going to Antioch, which was where we met and we were married. I didn't realize the significance of Antioch till later on. And then next city next to it was Zion, Illinois, and Antioch, Illinois. Very important cities in the world. Now we're going into Antioch, which is very important, 11:22-26. Let's see here. And there was, the matter was reported in the hearing of the assembly that was in Jerusalem concerning them. So people were teaching the word, the people were being excited in Antioch, and so we're in the middle of the story. And they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, arriving and seeing the favor which was of Yahweh, rejoiced and went on to beseech all with the purpose of their heart to abide in the Lord, because he was a good man and full of holy ruach and faith, and a considerable number were added unto the Lord. He went therefore, however, unto Tarsus to seek up Saul, and finding him, he brought him into Antioch. So I went like this. Come on, we have a big harvest going on. You see here, 26. And so it was with them that for a whole year they were brought together in the assembly and taught a considerable multitude. Also, the disciples first in Antioch were called Christians. And really, that should be, like I said before, Mashiach, which means anointed, is Cyrus was called Mashiach. The Greeks translated Mashiach into Christos, which we put a C in front of it, which it should be. It's actually pronounced, instead of Christos, it's actually Christos. And so when you see Christians, that's obviously a Greek word, and it should be absolutely Mashiachs, anointed ones. Christo is an adjective, while Mashiach is a noun. And so the significance I don't quite understand, but these are just the facts. But they first called Christians in Antioch. Now we go to chapter 13, continuation of Antioch, you know, going back and forth, 1 through 12. You want to read that, Wendy?
Now there were in Antioch distributed through the existing assembly prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, Manned also, Herod the Tetrarch's foster brother, and Saul. And as they were publicly ministering unto the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Separate forthwith unto me Barnabas and Saul unto the work whereunto I have called them. Then, fasting and praying and laying their hands upon them, they sent them away. They, therefore, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed away unto Cyprus. And coming to be in Salamis, they declared the word of Yahweh in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John also as an attendant.
All right, and passing through the whole island as far as Pathos, they found a certain man, a magician, a false prophet, who was a Jew. So can prophets be, in our day, false prophets?
Yes.
Are there false apostles? Yes. Are there false pastors? Yes. False prophet, Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, the same calling for Barnabas and Saul, sought to hear the word of Yahweh. But Emmaus, the Egyptian,
Elias,
the magician, for so when translated is his name, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. And that's going to happen with us. We're going to have people, when we're speaking the word, they're going to interject to call us false prophets or false teachers.
We're not
Christian. To stop that. False Christian, we're not a Christian. You know, I even saw one particular thing. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you're a heretic. You're not a Christian.
You know, yeah,
that's the same as this. Yeah, that's what they say.
Yep.
And you say chapter and verse on that. I don't know.
Where's this word?
Yeah, where is that? Where's that word Trinity in the Scripture? Well, it's not there. So you're actually adding to the Scriptures, and that's in 2 Corinthians 11. And also in Galatians 1:6-9, and guess what? You're accursed because you added to the Scriptures.
Unless you don't believe that.
Well, whatever, but yeah, 9. But Saul, who's also Paul, filled with the Holy Ruach. You know, we got to be ready for this kind of stuff. All of a sudden you're ready, and all of a sudden we got all of us have Holy Spirit to be engaged. Because all of a sudden he's looking at this, and this guy is doing this, and all of a sudden something happens where it's like, get him. All right? And then he goes into action. Looking steadfastly at him, said, O full of all guile and all recklessness, son of an adversary, enemy of all righteousness. This is my revelation, because you can't tell the heart of somebody whether he has an evil demon or evil ruach. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the straight ways of Yahweh? Now therefore, lo, the hand of Yahweh is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun until fitting time. Now this
That's what Yehoshua did to him.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah, he knows what it's like to be blind.
Yeah, okay. And instantly there fell upon him a mist and darkness, and going about he was... Now this is a magician. This is what you did to the magician. And the same thing that Moses did to the magicians in Egypt. Guess what? Gave you boils. How's he like that?
Hemorrhoids.
Yeah. I mean, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But there was boils, and there's, I think, the fleas and the lice. And that's what they say, it's the finger of Elohim.
The gadflies.
You couldn't do it.
Flies.
And instantly there fell upon him a mist of darkness, and going about he was seeking such as might lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, seeing what had happened, believed, being amazed at the teaching of Yahweh. So we see that in this particular time, and it could be in our time too, people have the written word. Back then they don't have the written word. I mean, they have the old covenant. But what you're saying now about Yahushua, and what you're saying about all this thing about holy ruach, this and that, I got to take your word for it. Because there's no documentation of this at all. And what was a documentation is power. So power said, what I am saying is true. How can I do that? Because whack, whack, you know, healing, raising the dead, that says, okay, what they're saying is true. And that's why I don't think we can have such a demonstration of power today many times in the quantity it does, because it leads people to look all, to put all their faith in the individual who is manifesting the power, which can be a problem, because if that person is wrong on half his teachings, he's just led people into false doctrines.
Alexander Dowie.
Yeah, we've seen it over and over on people who, that's happened. But we have the written word. They did. That was right here. Now we go to 48, chapter 13, verse 48. Let's see. And we're going to see the adversities from religion, which is, you are of your father the devil. So we saw that in John chapter 6, where the Pharisees, they would say, you are of your father the devil, Yahushua said. And many of the nations hearing this began to rejoice, you know, because they were preaching the word, and to be glorifying Yahweh, and they believed, as many have become deposed for life, age, or body. And the word of Yahweh went on to be carried through the whole country, but the Jews urged on the devout women of the higher class and the chief men of the city, and roused up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and thrust them out from their bounds. But they, shaking off the dust of their feet against them, came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with Holy Spirit. So it's interesting, the unbelievers, the nations, were receiving it, and the people who are supposed to be the believers were rejecting it. And that's sometimes with us, is we maybe be focusing on the people who have never heard the word compared to the people who have had heard the word. Let's see here, that's it. Now we go to 14, 19-20. But they came thither from Antioch and Iconium, Jews, and persuading the multitude and stoning Paul, and that's not Barnabas, but they're stoning Paul. They dragged him outside the city, supposing him to be dead. And this is after he, you know, brought deliverance to the person who had never walked in his life. And the guy stands, he says, rise up on their feet. And that's when they say he's a god. But here's the Jews, the religion, you know, so we would say the Christian church. So we're not, the Jews aren't going to persecute us. They don't have anything to do with us. So our persecution is the Christian faith.
Yeah.
Then it was the Jewish faith. Let's see here. But that's showing you the adversity. But in verse 20, howbeit the disciples surrounding him, he rose up and entered into the city, and on the morrow he went forth with Barnabas unto Derbe. Now, you know, that's great healing.
Isn't that being stoned, Paul says that was divine power there?
Yeah, it could have been a resurrection.
So
and we don't know. But no matter what, if you get stoned, you got contusion, broken bones, you got all sorts of stuff up. And then you rise up and go back in the same city that stoned you. I mean, these weren't little, you know,
pebbles.
Yeah. So they thought you were dead and drug you outside the city. And so this is showing you the adversity that can come along with flowing upstream, going against the current. Let's see here. Now we're going to see Ephesus, which is very important because Ephesus is Asia. And we're going to see at the end, it's actually Asia Minor, what we call, but they call it Asia. But we know in 2 Timothy, it says all Asia has turned from you. So that's, but at one particular time, it was a big, a successful place.
Yeah, Ephesians.
And we got the book of Ephesians.
They all turn on?
So we go to Acts 16:6. So it can show you what can happen. And here's where it kind of begins, where they're going through. And they pass through Phrygia and Galatian country being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Okay, so this particular time, don't go there. Walk by the Spirit. Why? And many people are doing that on missionary thing, is going to a place they were not led to go, and many times it was to their demise.
I already got a plane ticket.
Yeah, yeah. And I've always wanted to go to Africa or Asia or a communist country or a Muslim country or Chicago, in the heart of Chicago. So you've got to be, make sure I am you know, getting confirmation to go or not to go. But now we go to 18, chapter 18. Verse 18 to 23. Somebody
want
to read 18 to 23?
Paul, however, still further abiding a good many days with the brethren, bidding them adieu, set sail for Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And they came down to Ephesus, and as for them, he left them there, but himself entering into the synagogue, he reasoning with the Jews. And when they requested for him for a longer time to abide, he consented not, but bidding them adieu, and saying, again will I return it to you, Yahweh willing. He sailed away for Ephesus, and putting in Caesarea, going...
We're gonna stop there. So that's the beginning of our Ephesus. Now we go to 19:1. And let's see here, 19:1-12. And it came to pass while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passing through the upper parts to Ephesus and found certain disciples and said unto them, now he's in Ephesus, which is Asia, Holy Spirit received you when you believed. And, you know, that's a question we have to ask people too. And really, are you manifesting the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know whether I even be Holy Spirit, so you ask most Catholics today. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, we pray to the Holy Spirit. No. Do you have the gift of the Holy Spirit? They probably don't have no idea. And they said unto him, nay, not even whether there is Holy Spirit did we hear. And he said, into what then were you immersed? And they said, into John immersion. Then said Paul, John immersed, or Johanan, immersed with the immersion of repentance unto the people, saying that on him who was coming after him they should believe, that is, on Yahushua. So remember, who was there before was Apollos, and Apollos didn't know about Yahushua.
Okay.
He didn't know about John the Immerser. And when they heard this, they were immersed into the name of the Lord Yahushua, not into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Paul laying hands upon them, the Holy Ruach came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying, which we did tonight, speaking in tongues with interpretation and prophesying, which should be part of our everyday life. That's the manifestation of the Ruach, one of the benefits of the Ruach. And all the men were about 12. Does that mean 12?
12 men?
No, just about.
About 12.
Oh,
neat. No, it's not 12. Yahushua was about 30.
Does that mean he's 30?
Yeah.
No.
At least he's 29 or younger. He's not 30. He didn't begin his ministry at age 30. Yeah, he's about 30. So here's about 12. And why? 12 is a holy number. You know, 30 is a holy number. And that's why we jump into it. You don't say about 11. Mm-hmm. 11 doesn't mean anything, but 12 is a governmental perfection. And entering into the synagogue, he was speaking boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the reign of Yahweh, kingdom of God. And that's why it's very important for us to know the scriptures, that we can persuade people by chapter and verse, go back and forth. But when some were hardening themselves and refusing to be persuaded, speaking evil of the way before the throng, withdrawing from them, he separated the disciples day by day, reasoning in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of Yahweh, both Jews and Greeks. Now think of that. He was there for 2 years all of Asia had heard the word. Watch this too. To confirm what he's saying is true, mighty works also, not the ordinary. So, the ordinary mighty works, now these are not ordinary mighty works.
He's really like a Moses.
Yeah, so yeah, this is, you're really jumped into another level. Yahweh was working through the hands of Paul so that even unto the sick were being carried from his body, handkerchief or aprons, and the diseases were departed from them, and the wicked ruachs were going out. We're going to skip the rest of the part. Let's go to 18 to 20. Many also of them who had believed were coming, making open confession and renouncing their practices. Remember, this is Ephesus, this is Asia, which later on in Paul's ministry, they all turned away. And a good many of them who had practiced the curious arts, bringing together the books, were burning them before all, and they reckoned up the price of them that found them 50,000 pieces of silver. Thus with might, Yahweh's word was growing and prevailing. So we're going to stop that. Now we go to chapter 20, verse 17. Now here he goes back to Ephesus again on his way to Jerusalem to go through the day of Pentecost, which we've done teachings on that before. He wasn't supposed to go to be, he could be in Jerusalem, but he's not supposed to be in the temple. And this is the holy place, and guess what happened to him? They want to kill him. You know, is Yahweh in the temple area?
No.
No. So why are you in the temple? You know, obviously your heritage, you missed it, you know, feast days, the festival days, and so forth, but he's going back to Jerusalem. And 17, and from Miletus, he sent unto Ephesus and called for the elders of the assembly, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, and he's telling them, you yourselves well know from the first day when I set foot in Asia, so we see that Ephesus is Asia, and what manner I came to be with you all time doing service unto Yahweh with all humility and tears and temptations which befell me through the plots of the Jews. And you can go ahead and keep reading this. Let's just go to 36 though. And these things saying, kneeling down with them, all he prayed, and they all wept much, and falling upon Paul's neck, they were tenderly kissing him, being most distressed for the word which he had said, that no more should they see his face, behold, and they accompanied him unto the ship. And that's Ephesus. Now we go to chapter 26. And so this really kind of sums up a summation of what Yahushua did on the right person, Saul. And he's explaining to, in chapter 26, verse 1, King Agrippa, who is a Hebrew. And I would probably like to read this whole thing, but we won't. But it tells you another little incidences where it's kind of combine what happened in Damascus and what also happened on the field.
And, on the field.
Well, when he got struck with light.
Okay.
So it's going to add to things that are not in the first account.
Okay.
And so 14, and when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? It's hard for thee against goats to be kicking. You know what a goat is, Vanya? So you have oxen. And when you're trying to hit the reins to make them go, they want to try to kick back at you. Because they don't like that. So you have a stick with like a spike on it. And you put it behind their leg. And when they try to kick, what happens? They hurt themselves. So it stops an animal from kicking. And say, I'm not sticking you. You're sticking yourself. And so... Yahushua is telling Paul, quit kicking against the goat. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yahushua. Man, that had to be just take your breath away. God, the guy I'm persecuting. Who thou art persecuting, I think, Stephen, the people you put in prison, the men and women's life you ruined. But rise and stand upon thy feet. So this is an end. You know, remember it says, go to Damascus. In the first account, it says, go to Damascus. It'll tell you what to do. Well, this is going to tell you what he's doing. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee attendant and a witness, both of the things as to which thou hast seen me, and that's where he has seen me, and also heard Christ, and of those as to which I will appear unto thee, rescuing thee from among the people and from among the nations, unto whom I am sending thee to open their eyes. Isn't that great? That they may, and that's what our prophecies tonight, our manifestation so much, was to open the eyes, that they may turn from darkness unto light and the authority of Satan. If they're in darkness, they're under the authority of Satan, unto Yahweh, that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them who have been made holy by the faith respecting me. Now he goes on to tell, you know, the story. We'll cut down to 28. Let's say 27. Believest thou, King Agrippa, in the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost art thou persuading thee to become a Christian. And Paul answering, I could pray unto Yahweh that both almost and altogether, not only thou, but all they who are hearing me this day, might become such as even I am expecting, accepting these bonds. And that's his testimony. And we see age is important. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 now.
Where?
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. You see, the assemblies of Asia salute you. Okay. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 1:8. We do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, as to our tribulation what happened in Asia, that exceeding beyond power we weighed down so that we despaired even of life. That's going upstream.
Could you repeat that scripture for me, 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 1:8.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we know 2 Timothy 1:15. Sum up the sharing. And so we're discouraged many times because we don't have the numbers. It feels like nobody's really interested, so we might be doing the wrong thing. And read that, Melania, 1:15.
Thou knowest this, that all they who are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Philegius and Hermogenes.
Hermogenes.
Yeah, and that's it. So all of Asia has turned. And so he's telling Timothy this is the end of his ministry. Let's go to 4, 1 through 8. I adjure, this is to Timothy, I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to be judging living and dead, both as to his foreshining in his kingdom, do what? Proclaim the word, take thy position in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, encourage with all long-suffering and teaching. Another thing, too, is whenever you see long-suffering, that's Greek for slow to anger. And slow to anger does not mean long-suffering. You know, Yahweh is not long-suffering. Yahweh is slow to anger. Long-suffering and anger doesn't enter into the situation.
To suffer long?
To suffer long. So what is that? That doesn't mean you're slow to anger.
Yeah.
And so we're supposed to be slow. We're supposed to be slow to anger. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't mean you get angry.
Yeah.
And do what you need to do. But there will be a season when the helpful teachings, they will not endure. That's today. Same with Paul's day. You know, that's why he wrote the book of Galatians. You're turning back to circumcision. All ages turn from me. So it happened in his lifetime.
Yeah.
But according to their own covetings, will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will turn away, and unto stories will they turn themselves aside. But thou be sober in all things. Suffer hardship. So it says, they're going to turn. They're not going to say, listen to you. I'm telling you that. Be sober in all things. Suffer hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Thy ministry completely fulfilled. For I already am he's being poured out as a drink offering, and the season of my release is at hand. The noble contest have I contested. The race have I finished. The faith have I kept. And that's what we all want to come down to on our it's called our deathbed.
The end of the book.
Henceforth lied by for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord will render unto me in that day, the righteous judge, yet not alone unto me, but unto all them who have loved his first shining. So, that's we'll end right there.
Wow.
Paul Ood. Saul
Ood. Okay.
Paul Ood. Saul Ood. We'll go ahead and hear from our Father, a prophecy. Finish it off. Thank you for these words, for the Ruach HaKodesh. Thank you, Christ, for making us righteous through your substitution for us, that we can be holy enough to receive Ruach HaKodesh. Be bold. Always be bold. Do not be afraid of what people are threatening to do or what people say they might do, or how the world might hate you or mistreat you, but be confident that they hated me, so they will hate you. I've warned you about this, so go forth with boldness and expectation of shining forth your light that will shine forth against that darkness, that will open the eyes of those who want to see. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week.